You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our podcasts are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We've got a really great program for you today, folks. Sarah Hall, the director of the Institute for Emerging Issues, is with us here in the studio to talk about how her organization engages stakeholders on a range of issues to build consensus and take action. But first, as always, ladies and gentlemen, as I am tongue-tied this morning, I'm going to give myself a little relief and talk to the true talent. See, Mike, this is true now. You would never do a tongue-tie like that. The true talent of AARP Without Limits. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mike Davis, fresh back from England.
Yes, tally-ho, old chap.
I was about to say, you still sound like a Southern boy. You don't sound...
Thank you. I'll take it.
How did it go, Mike?
It was fantastic. It was really, really cool. Wonderful 2 weeks mm-hmm. with my wife. We traveled over much of Southern England from London to Cambridge to Warwick, then down to Tintagel. And then back across over to London to fly home. It was fantastic.
Wonderful. 2 weeks is a long time to be in another country.
It was a long time. It was a little bit long. I mean, after about 10 days, I was sort of feeling homesick. I was ready. Yeah. I was ready to come back. But we still had a lot of fun stuff to do, and we did it. We crammed it in and got the pictures to show for it.
The least of which, I'm sure, in terms of fun, was the driving experience. We were talking in the lobby a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was,
it's a bit of a challenge.
I was given a good piece of advice before we rented a car, and that was get a stick shift. A lot of the cars over there are manual transmission. And so I was told get a manual transmission car because now you're shifting with your left hand, and it's a constant reminder that things are different, that you need to be on the left side. And I think it did help. It did. Although I was really fighting sometimes finding reverse with my left hand. That was very odd. But it was fun.
Wow. I was in Turks and Caicos last year.
Okay.
And similar, you know, you drive on the left side of the road. Okay. The thing that challenged me the most, even in an automatic, which is easier for shorter drive, is the roundabouts.
Oh, my
word. You get to a roundabout, you're like, in fact, actually, when you rent a car, they tell you, they're like, they gave me a handout and saying, here's how you drive through the roundabout here in Turks and Caicos. You're not used to it.
And they are everywhere in the UK.
Yes,
everywhere.
There are.
You go through one and immediately you'll go through another one and another one and another one. And some of them don't even look like roundabouts. I mean, they've just got a spot painted in the middle of an intersection. Oh, guess what? It's a roundabout. Yeah, it was very odd.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad you had fun.
What a great
way to kick off your, you know, official retirement, we can say that, even though you're still working on the show and some other shows.
In the eyes of the Social Security Administration, I am retired. Yes.
Well, that's what counts for sure. So in the last, you were there for 2 weeks. Right. I spent a very short trip out west to Sedona, Arizona. Oh. My first time there. I love that part
How
of
was
the country.
It?
Absolutely amazing, Mike. Absolutely. I understand my son has a friend named Sedona. I understand why people name their children after
it. Really?
Wonderful, wonderful city. Absolutely beautiful. Just and I've, you know, you see Red Rocks and they're gorgeous in that part of the country. And you're like, okay, I mean, yes, it never gets old. Yeah. It was still just like up every morning before sunrise. Got to see the sunrise with the Red Rocks, with the coffee. Absolutely loved it. Didn't want to go to bed at night. And it was a short trip, but so well worth it. Already planning the next trip. When are we going to go back there?
Good for you. Yeah, so, I have not spent nearly enough time in that part of the country. I'm looking forward to heading that way.
And I'll tell you, you know, I've long since said, and we'll wrap this up, folks, before we actually get to the good stuff here in our show today. For a long time, always thought, you know what, when I retire, there's going to be sand between my toes. You're going to be sitting on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
I never thought it would be maybe desert sand. I love the desert now, Mike. I don't know what it is. It's something I discovered in recent years and definitely could see myself living out there.
Dry heat?
Dry heat, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'll tell you, speaking of the heat, it was 85 degrees when I was there.
Yeah.
Very comfortable.
Yes.
Very, yep. Anyway, that's our unofficial endorsement of visiting Sedona. I'm very jealous of my colleague, the state director, Dana, out there in Arizona for being able to enjoy that stuff. Anyway, folks, enough of that. Thank you, as always, for letting us indulge. Really, really happy to have on the show today, Sarah Hall. She is the director of the Institute for Emerging Issues. And for folks who haven't yet heard of this organization and, you know, let alone know what they do, I'm really hoping that you pull out a pen and that you take advantage of the opportunity to look them up, because they're doing some really, really fascinating work, especially in this period of time where so much stuff is done virtually, and people, you know, we're connected so much through social media, but yet people are disconnected and not communicating well and not problem solving in really cooperative ways. And I think that's for sure one of the things that Sarah's organization seeks to address and to work against. So, Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It is great to see you again. It's been a while. I was trying to remember the first time we connected, maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Through Leadership North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Great
Another
alumni.
Wonderful
days.
Organization.
Best class ever right here.
That's right.
But thank you for having me. Excited to share with your listeners all about the Institute for Emerging Issues and the work that we do.
Great. So let's start with some real basics. What is the Institute and what is its connection to NC State? And of course, what's your mission?
Yeah, so great question. So we are North Carolina's think tank, and we're focused on emerging issues facing the state's long-term economic competitiveness and quality of life. And I would say we're unique in five ways. So first, we began as an event. Before we were an organization, we were an event at the Emerging Issues Forum. Hopefully some of your listeners have been able to attend in the past. Which was founded by Governor Jim Hunt and NC State nearly 40 years ago. And so actually next year we will celebrate our 40th year of the Emerging Issues Forum. Over 20 years ago, we became a UNC, University of North Carolina, system-wide center and institute located at NC State, which is one of two public land grant institutions in our state, focused on all 100 counties. So go Pack. And our mission is to convene leaders of all levels and influence from different sectors, regions, and points of view to examine these emerging issues and the solutions to identify a path forward for North Carolina. Aligned with NC State's motto of think and do, we collaborate with partners to catalyze efforts and move the needle forward on these issues. And I think another thing that makes us unique is that we are multi-issue, so we don't focus on just education or just infrastructure, right? So we focus on a variety of issues, and we are nonpartisan in everything that we do, meaning our work doesn't favor any specific ideology, political perspective, you name it. And really, we are known to be an honest broker for work on education and workforce, the environment, healthcare, and the economy at large.
Excellent description. I mean, that was just a wonderful overview of it. I'm struck the very first thing that you said, it began as an event. And this is wonderful because at ARP we do lots of events and we'll have conferences and things, and then you're like, okay, what are the follow-up actions? And then you hope, you know, if you have a successful conference or meeting or training or whatever it is, you always hope like, okay, we're going to have something tangible that's going to be sustainable, let alone an actual organization being birthed from it. So that's really just fantastic. And 40 years?
40 years of the forum this year. So I want to invite you all to attend, and I'm going to tell you more about that in just a minute.
Wonderful. So yeah, let's get right into that. How do you engage stakeholders? And talk, if you could, a little bit about the format. Is there just one set format, or is there a variety of different types of ways that you do your work?
Yeah, so I'll answer the last question first, and to say, no, that would be too easy if we just did it one way all the time. Mm. So we do it all different ways, and I'll share more. So really, we engage with stakeholders. I mean, that is the work of the Institute for Emerging Issues. Again, we cover a wide range of issues, and we're a small team. So it would be impossible for us to do our work without that stakeholder and partner engagement. So in terms of who we engage, statewide thought leaders, like those that serve on our National Advisory Board, which is made up of leaders in industry, in education, nonprofit sector, et cetera. We also reach out to issue-specific experts and practitioners. So depending on whatever topic we take on, we'll look for those that are doing cutting-edge research, right? Or scaling programs around this issue in their community. And then we also like to talk to those that are closest to the issue, right? Who has the most to gain from advancing this issue, and who might lose if we don't mitigate some of our challenges ahead of us. So we like to say all sectors, all regions, and all points of view. And you're going to hear me say that many times throughout this discussion. We work with decision makers in government, so either at the state, local, or regional levels. And this includes, you know, your economic and workforce development leaders, your government administrators, elected officials, you know, all of those folks who influence or are decision makers when it comes to how we go about you know, our work here in the state. We work to understand the needs of the business community, not just our very large businesses, but our small and medium-sized businesses as well. And, you know, they all have different unique needs depending on what sector they're in or where they're located or what their workforce needs are, for example. And we work with our nonprofit institutions, many that are providing either direct service to address the issue, or are looking at more of a systems level sort of impact. And so, yeah, and with each issue we take on, we'll identify a specific subgroup, right, that we can really, you know, connect with to help shape our work. And so what that looks like, it looks different. It looks different for every issue we take on, depending on what the needs are and what we're trying to solve. But I would say that it tends to be individual and small group meetings. So, Mike, like the one we've had in the past, just learning about what some of the issues are related to the older adult population here in North Carolina as an example. But there are also curated meetings to better understand both is what is happening at, say, that system statewide level. So, you know, bringing together our state leaders for each of our administrative departments, for example. But then also smaller community, you know, meetings to understand how this issue might be playing out in, say, Western North Carolina or among the agriculture sector, you know, among younger populations, older populations, et cetera. We've historically convened an advisory council or working group to take everything we're learning and identify that set of solutions that we can come to consensus on to move that issue forward. That takes a lot of time and work and preparation to do. Consensus building is not an easy thing. We might start with 100 ideas, but when we bring a bunch of folks together, we might land on maybe 5 to 10 that everyone thinks is a good path forward. They might not be the most important things to get us what we need, but there's generally a set of foundational recommendations that will get us moving in the right direction. And so that's really important for this work, because sometimes it just takes that first step, you know, to lead to the next step and the next. And then we invite all North Carolinians to come together to discuss and debate these actions. The forum itself, the Emerging Issues Forum, is a day to learn how different perspectives are shaping an issue. We can share case studies. We can lift up best practices that North Carolina should adopt or consider. And we use that forum and the discussions that happen at the forum to really refine our work moving forward. And then I would say for every issue, we identify a strategy again to move that needle. And we try to work with various communities across the state, because we believe that everyone has a role to play at the individual, community, or even statewide level.
That is a lot. And a tremendous, and for a small team too, a heavy task or a tall order, I think. Just given knowing a bit about how hard it is to get together different stakeholders and to find consensus, it's a lot of work. And it needs a really specific, you need a real strong competencies in certain areas in order to do that well, let alone at 40 years, your organization has gotten some practice there. Right. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Sarah Hall of the Institute for Emerging Issues. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
Hey,
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send me an email. I love email. AARP Without Limits at aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Sarah Hall. She's the director of the Institute for Emerging Issues. And we've been learning a lot. I've been learning a lot about the Institute, Sarah. You've really shared a lot in terms of the structure of the organization and the mission and the focus. Let's talk a little bit more, if we could, a deeper dive into the actual forms, when you're actually engaging people. I know everyone looks different. Walk us through, if you could, what they typically look like. Are they multi-day? Is it one day? Is it, you know, I know breakout groups and things like that, different parts of the state? How does that work?
Yeah, so great question. And first, let me say, you might be the only person I've ever admit that they'd like email. So, so the forum is, it's evolved, right? Over 40 years, we've done the forum in so many different ways. But like all things, we need to adapt to stay relevant. We used to be a 1.5 day forum here in Raleigh. And we've sort of evolved. We've taken the forum to other parts of the state. And we're down to about a 1 day forum. Folks are busy. And I think that's about what they can handle right now. Mm-hmm. Although we always struggle with, you know, gosh, what we could talk about if we had another day, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just this past February, we were delayed for snow to May, but we had a 1 day forum in Raleigh at the McKimmon Center. And that day really just starts with some stage setting. We have a very, very diverse participants come to the forum from different sectors. They have different levels of knowledge about the issue. Some are just there because they care about advancing North Carolina's economic competitiveness, and they really don't know anything about energy infrastructure. They just know it's important. Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot of stage setting at the beginning of the day to make sure everyone really understands why this issue, why now, why is it important for us to tackle some issues now for the future. And we like to hear from some of those statewide and local leaders, right? So how they're experiencing that issue. We also do some thematic kind of conversations. So we generally talk about, you know, how are we going to finance this? What's the affordability issue here? What is our workforce needs around this issue? What partnerships are needed? We have breakout sessions. Those tend to be a very popular part of the forum experience because it's also a space to engage with one another. Mm-hmm. So we always say our event is different. You're not a forum person who sits in the audience and just listens. You are expected to contribute to the conversation and help mm-hmm. shape the work. And so we really explore opportunities for those networking and conversations to happen throughout the day. And we always invite the standing governor to kind of come and shape what the issue means for them and their administration. So again, the forum's been different. I will say for our 40th year, we are going to innovate it a little bit. It's the short legislative session next February. And we're talking about the issue of water infrastructure. And while all of our issues have regional variations in thinking about the issue, water is one of those that feel very regional. We hear even when you think about, you know, water quality, when you think about having too much water, maybe it's flooding in the Piedmont area, but, what we saw with Hurricane Helene in the western part of the state and several, you know, weather-related events in eastern North Carolina, also being along the coast. So we're actually taking the forum on the road And we're going to hold three forums on the same day, February 25th, 2026. And we'll be in the Western region. We'll be in Asheville. In the Piedmont, we'll be in Winston-Salem. And in the eastern part of the state, we'll be hosting conversations in Moorhead City, which is in Carteret County. Mm. And then we'll all be back again in Raleigh in 2027 to talk about housing, which I know is a big issue.
Wow, yeah.
We're hoping that there's lots more solutions to lift up in the next couple of years. So really, that's the forum, and it looks different every time. And we invite close to 500 of our leaders and influencers from all across the state to come and participate in that. Mm-hmm. And you all are invited, too.
Thank you. So the water issue, and we'll dig deep into this at all, that's something I think myself, I have a lot to learn about that. And just, you know, you touched on things like flooding and access water treatment. It as a utility, we take it for granted, and it's not until you're without it where you have a problem with water, like too much, like you said, that people really begin to realize that there's so much. I'm so glad you guys are working on that issue, and it'd be fascinating to see what comes of it. And then the housing piece is really just timely, because that's something now that is, we're seeing even like in national polls in terms of issues, the issue of housing, the affordable housing, and just simply people being able to buy a home.
Right.
And how out of reach it is, even if you've got a good income. Mm-hmm. Certain parts of the state, just markets are just putting it further and further out of reach. And that's just home ownership, even for renters in some
Absolutely.
Of the cities and stuff. I remember what just happened to Charlotte since I moved there, and the sort of that rim that was considered to be the affordable housing areas, it just sort of like the ring expanded because they gentrified the area. They became higher income areas now, and now those people have been pushed out. So fascinating issues that we all need to be working on. How does, and we just mentioned here, like polls, how do you guys determine what issues you're gonna address?
So that's an excellent question, and one I think that we are committed to being more transparent about, because it's probably the number one question I get. So we need to do a better job of just making that information readily available. But I will say that we intentionally only take on issues with the potential for common ground and collaborative action. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, there are very important emerging issues that just aren't ripe for an Institute for Emerging Issues Forum topic, right? It's very, very important, but just not our niche to sort of address. We look for issues where we can influence the creation and adoption of policy programs and community change. And a key indicator here is that we say we're a public policy organization. We don't create policy. We influence that policy and help shepherd and shape that work. So we think of an emerging issue as one that has been recognized by experts from across different sectors, from different disciplines, as having a significant impact on our economic future here in North Carolina, and where there are opportunities or solutions that require the entire state's attention. So again, all people, all sectors, and all points of view. And last but not least, there have to be solutions and great ideas that really can fit here in North Carolina. So we always say it's great if that's happening in New York City. Is that going to apply here in North Carolina? Mm-hmm. But it is learning about, well, what are those sort of elements of that work that we can adopt and modify and work here in the state. We leverage our National Advisory Board to really help us identify that issue. They sit at a 30,000 foot level, and so they help us sort of connect those dots. And we look to where there's already a momentum occurring, right? So we understand we come into an issue that many other organizations, this is their life's work, right? This is their mission exactly. And so we come in and we look for, well, how can II, with our unique skill set around consensus building, how can we add value to this issue? So those are some of the things that we think about. Again, I mentioned we have done work around education, the built and natural environment, the economy. We focused on different healthcare. So we try to sort of get a good mix and alternate that. But, with 14 million people expected to call North Carolina home by 2050, a lot of them coming from, migrating from other places, we couldn't think of a more timely conversation better time to talk about advancing our infrastructure, right? Having a future forward infrastructure plan that is thinking about it outside of the typical silos. So, housing, but you have to think about housing in the context of broadband and transportation, water and energy. All of these things are very interconnected. And I think we've got some great examples of folks collaborating across those silos, but far too often we're looking at them as discrete problems. And so one of the things we decided was now's the time to really think about this more comprehensively. And that's what we've been doing with this current forum.
Wow. Fascinating. It's a fascinating model, and it's astounding. It's been around for 40 years, and you guys are just refining the approach and doing things. But the fact that you're getting people together and doing things, we need so much of that. Like, we need our institutions, right? So many of our institutions, sometimes very rightfully, are being challenged. But when you have people who are working in certain areas, they have expertise, they know the issues, they know the problems, they know the constituencies, they know how to get things done. And it's so important to get people together to work cooperatively. And again, it's a tall task to know your space as an organization, because it's so hard, you know. It's not like like AARP runs in this all the time. You know, we'll convene and be like, we're not the experts on this stuff. You guys are. We need to, we'll take some time and figure out what our role is, because we don't want to be redundant. And we're not there just to throw our branding on it and take credit for it. We want to leverage good stuff that's already going on. And sometimes that means just simply being a convener.
Yeah. But sometimes you are the experts. And I'd
sometimes
just like to
we
say,
are, for,
in
sure.
for our 2023 forum on workforce and talent, we actually brought AARP's national VP of Workforce Development, and if you remember, Mindy Feldbaum came and talked about one of the workforce programs that they were implementing here in North Carolina with the Lumber River Council of Government, in Robeson County. And we got to meet one of the participants that benefited from that program on a session about connecting older adults to workforce opportunities. So
wonderful. So thank you for the plug.
Yeah,
thank you for remembering
yeah.
that. Greatly appreciate that. Well, we are out of time. Would love to have you back on again, especially maybe after the next forum, to talk maybe more so we can focus on a specific forum to get into what's been shared and get folks educated, especially in the water issue. Like, I know people, oh boy, that sounds interesting. Water. No, it is, folks. There's
sewer is the hot topic.
It is.
So I'll tell
infects,
you what. Yeah, so I'll come back on your podcast, but then I want you to be a guest on our podcast at IEI so we can hear all about the great programs you're doing for older adults here
Deal.
Across North Carolina.
Deal, Sarah.
Okay.
You got my confirmation right now. That is a wrap, folks. I want to thank Sarah Hall for being our guest. Thank you to Mike Davis for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll see you next time.